Look, up in the air. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's We Got the Geek.
All right, this is J-Stu and K-Stu coming to you from Pulp Comics in Niagara Falls.
Yay!
Yay!
And we're sitting here with the owner of Pulp Comics, an all-around cool guy, Mr. Paul Tappe.
Hey, guys.
How's it going? Thanks for doing this.
No problem. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for being our guinea pig.
Always.
Our first remote.
Yes.
Nice.
I'm not a gerbil, but I'm a guinea pig, yes.
We've been coming in here a few years now, and we've always been amazed at your encyclopedia-like knowledge of comics and stories and characters.
It's true.
It is true. From day one, actually.
Sure. All right.
Don't think I've ever asked you, though. How did you get into comics, and do you remember the first thing you ever read?
First time I got into comics was when I was 8 years old, and my cousins, if you will, good friends of the family, the McInnes brothers, were out in Grimsby. And the first thing they turned me on to was Cerebus and TMNT. So TMNT and Cerebus, the old school ones, were the first comics I ever actually saw.
Wow.
They were really out there. And then eventually I got more into the mainstream stuff, and I think the first collection I ever bought was also off these guys. And my parents were at their house. You know when you have company and you go over and the parents are upstairs drinking and having hors d'oeuvres and the kids are all like in the room doing stuff? So I remember going in the living room with like a stack of comics going, Mommy, Daddy. I was English when I was younger, apparently. I said, can I buy these books, please? And it was some really cool stuff, like Marvel Secret Wars was in there, Spider-Man, X-Men comics, so very Marvel heavy when I was a kid. And then I was hooked. I was always a drawer. I was always an illustrator, cartoonist kid growing up, drawing on everything I could.
Yeah.
So it was just a natural, progression for me to get into comics.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. What are you reading these days? Anything you could recommend to our listeners?
I have to admit that when the new comic book day comes, and this is not a great, oh my God, you read that book? When new comic book day arrives and there's a Walking Dead comic in the box, I immediately stop what I'm doing and I sit down and I see what hijinks Carl's got into this time. So that is my favorite thing to read. Currently right now what I am pouring through is Fables. I've heard some good things about it. And unlike Once Upon a Time or Grimm, which are mediocre at best, on television, I find that Fables is a really good portrayal of that kind of universe within our universe. And I do like it. It's really good.
I stopped around issue 50.
I'm currently about 107, so I'm almost caught up.
Yeah. Catch up.
Current stuff that's really out there right now, I'm finding I'm getting away from a lot of the superhero stuff. I will admit I'm a neglectful DC parent. I've stopped reading DC comics after issue 7 of the New 52.
Oh, wow.
Not because I don't like it, because I've just got so much stuff going on, as you can imagine. There's a stack about this big, and I'm making like a 2-foot sign with my hands on my bedside table, and it's all the awesome DC stuff. Justice League, Green Lantern, Superman action. Batman I've made myself read because it's Batman, and I want to see what's going on with Death of the Family. But non-superhero stuff, Image Comics. I read a lot of their stuff. Black Acre, Clone, Comeback, Thief of Thieves, Saga's great. And then superhero stuff, Marvel's getting me back into it with their Now relaunch, which is Guardians of the Galaxy and Nova. I'm like, let me read these stupid books, and they're awesome. Like, they're so good, and I didn't want to like them, but I do. And All New X-Men and Superior Spider-Man. So, yes, even though I say I don't read a lot of comics, I managed to find time to read all that stuff.
Well, you kind of have to.
I kind of have. It's almost like homework sometimes, but we have enough conversations with my, coworkers and my friends and customers that come in that I'm fully aware of what's going on. Yeah. It's like, oh, I haven't read it yet. Don't tell me too much,
Someday.
Yes, someday.
You mentioned New Comic Book Day.
Yes.
That's every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
What kind of stuff's coming out this week and anything you're looking forward to?
Oh, you got me off guard a little bit here. New Comic Book Day this week is April the 17th. No. Oh, the new He-Man book comes out.
Okay.
That's been actually quite talked about a lot because they've been reintroducing the Masters of the Universe to us in comic book form. And it seems that they've been doing like mini-series and origin stories. But this is now supposed to be the actual ongoing series. And we've had some people that have been pretty interested in getting that first one.
Bomber was real excited in hearing about that.
Yeah, I'm hoping it. I mean, I've read the first few. They've been okay, but they've been kind of inconsistent with their release dates, and there hasn't been anything for a while, and it's just kind of been burning a hole on the newsstand, like, just a placeholder, we're going to have more, but Yeah, that's something that I'm actually looking forward to, that I'll make sure I find time to read. Other than that, this is not a really crazy week. I mean, we're getting a lot of our Free Comic Book Day merch in this week. Like, so as a retailer, my order this week is very heavy with the Free Comic Book Day stuff that I've ordered that I have to sit on before I can give it away on May the 4th.
It's like 100,000 books coming out that day.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like it, yeah.
Age of Ultron's always coming out. There's one thing that's funny. What's coming out this week? Well, you can count that there's a Marvel Now series coming out because they started that, what, back in November, I want to say?
Yeah.
And some of these titles are already at issue 10, issue 11. So a lot of these titles have been fast-tracked. I'll be almost bi-monthly or bi-weekly, whatever it twice a month is. I always get that wrong. Nova number 3, I'm going to read that. That's coming out this week. That'll be good. That's probably all I'm personally interested in.
Actually, yeah, as a follow-up question, what are some of your top sellers? Like, what do you have a hard time keeping on the shelf?
Top sellers, well, Walking Dead is easily the biggest top seller. I order more of that every month. I currently actually right now don't have any back issues of it in the store. And there was a time last week before the new issue came out last week that I had not even last month's comic available. They were all gone.
Wow.
So for an independent... Must say an Image is really an independent, but you know, as outside the big two,
yeah,
to have Walking Dead be that big of a seller, it's not as big as stock wise. Like, I order the most of Batman, that's what I actually order the most of every month. After that, it's probably Justice League is the second most quantity, then Superior Spider-Man. And a lot of the Marvel Now titles have resulted in increased sales for pre-Marvel Now titles of the same name. So the Marvel Now Iron Man, I order more than the pre-Marvel Now Iron Man.
Huh.
So it's definitely increased readership. Deadpool, for example, pre-Marvel Now, I ordered a few, you know, maybe a dozen or so copies each month. Now we're clearing 30 a month.
Oh, my God.
For a Deadpool comic, that's pretty good, you know? So definitely when they rebrand or relaunch these titles, it definitely creates new interest. But Batman's still number one. Nobody can touch Batman.
Yeah, Batman.
That's a great run.
It's a good story arc, but it could be Batman in an apron cooking flapjacks for an entire 32-page book, and people would still buy it. It's just, he's every man, but no man. You know, like, we could be Batman.
If we really tried.
And if we had lots of money. You know?
Yeah, I'm not going to be Batman.
Not even if he was cooking flapjacks for an issue?
I'm good, thanks.
No? Okay.
Apron thing.
Oh, you know what? Pleasant surprise. Thor.
Really?
Thor God of Thunder series, pleasantly, is a very good read. I'm thinking Thor. You know what I mean? Ever read a lot of Thor growing up? It sells very well, and I'm very happy with what they've done with it in the Marvel Now relaunch. It's fantastic. People were selling me on it. Like, you gotta read. Like, yeah, whatever, it's Thor. You know, all of his old English shit out the window, which is great, so you can just get right into it. And he's battling the same villain at three different points of his life. When he was a young, arrogant little brat, you know, before he fell. Current day, and when he's an old grizzled king with one eye and an android arm, because he's the only Asgardian left alive, and he's barricaded himself in this big throne room with his white hair, and the God Butcher is the villain, and his minions are out the door trying to claw their way in to get him. It's cool how you can read these three story arcs within the same comic.
Yeah,
that's been the biggest surprise.
What about Vibe?
Vibe?
Have you read the of that one?
We actually had a conversation about this last night. We were doing our inventory back issue restock before Free Comic Book Day. And how can I phrase this? Because people will be listening to this. main characters of a certain... you know what? There isn't really a black character that can carry a book. I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. Every series that has an African-American or a minority lead does not sell well. I'm not saying that comic book fans are racist in Niagara Falls or in North America, but when I saw that, I'm like, Vibe, okay, great. Let's carry some of that. Mr. Terrific didn't last long. Batwing is... I carry it because it's got Bat in the title on the stand, but really, sales-wise, I shouldn't really justify carrying it as a stock item.
Huh.
So, yeah, things... I mean... They don't sell. I don't know if it's because there's not a big community of you know, African-American comic readers in Niagara Falls, but I just don't know if the stories are that strong. I flip through it, I'm like, like, what's his power? Like, he's like Jubilee, but in DC, like, he can do stuff with lights and sounds and stuff.
he breakdance?
That was the 80s version.
Yes.
So maybe he got a
if
bad
there was a
vibe.
Beat, if there was, it was called Beat Street, starring Vibe, it might sell a little bit better. Feel free to edit any of that stuff out if you want, by the way.
Oh, we're leaving it all.
That's comedy gold.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
A new spin on the traditional comic book store. Pulp Comics now has everything you need to get the party started. Our goal is to make it simple for you by providing a unique and innovative party space. Ample space, seating for up to 30 people, arcade cabinets and board games, and special appearances by superhero or sci-fi characters to make your event an absolute success. Various packages available from simple rental to the space to a fully featured epic party. Come see us at 4559 Queen Street in Niagara Falls. Call us at 905-353-0666 or visit us at www.pulpcomics.ca.
A lot of comic book movies coming out this summer. Do you have any in particular you're excited about?
Man of Steel.
Definitely.
That's it. All the others will just fall by the wayside. Man of Steel, Man of Steel, Man of Steel.
Really?
I'm a huge Superman fan.
But is Iron Man 3?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Name a third movie that was actually any good.
I know, that's why I'm hoping.
Yeah,
break
you're
the,
right.
Break
you're right.
Iron Man 3, I mean, as far as best personification of the character they're playing on the screen, RDJ is, I think, the best.
Yeah.
I think he is Tony Stark. He pretty much is. Look at his life, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Except for the chesticle light and, you know, being a superhero. But other than that, his silver spoon upbringing and his, you know, alcoholism, it's all right there. Having said that, though, Man of Steel, I think there's so much hinging on this film. It's the linchpin of all future DC films, as everyone's talked about. And even though I don't think that Justice League characters really relate to the big screen, they don't really feel right in the real world. I know Batman's been doing well. This is a guy that wears basically body armor with pointy ears. But whenever they tend to put these real-world characters, these characters into the real world, they don't translate as well sometimes as the Marvel characters. That just could be a branding thing, so they're an older company. I don't know. But the Man of Steel is so important to DC's movie future that if it doesn't do well, not only will you not see a Justice League film ever, but you probably won't see another Superman film until our kids are our age. I just don't see them doing... This is Superman's last chance.
Pretty much.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
So absolutely that one, the trailer. I could watch it now and it gives me goosebumps. It's just so awesome. You know, just the cast is very strong. I've never seen an actor that's looked like Superman more than Henry Cavill, including Christopher Reeves. Growing up with him, my favorite movie of all time, don't get me wrong. But as far as what, in my head, I think Superman should look like, I think Henry Cavill just looks like Superman.
I like Brandon Routh.
Hmm. Yeah. He's played too many homosexuals since that movie, so it's kind of soured me on going back and watching it. Like, you know, just a little disappointed.
Well, Jay just rewatched it.
I think he did okay with the script he had to work with. He came across as a stalker the second time I watched
it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that there's going to be a Superman film that doesn't have real estate as its main focal point and Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Like, this is a Superman film where he'll be punching people. We know this. He'll be throwing fists. So that's great. And everything I've seen looks just awesome. And I think it's really going to help not only launch the film franchise, but it should create a little bit of a stronger Superman following in the print material, because they are sticking fairly close to the new 52 kind of version of Superman and Clark that we've come to know in the last, you know, year and a half.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be great.
Cool.
Well, how about the Wolverine?
The domestic trailer made me want to go and read a book about science. Which I don't like to do. But the international trailer made me want to go and see this film. I don't know why that is. The domestic trailer was very weak. I didn't like it whatsoever.
The international trailers are always better.
It was so good. It showed way more, but not too much.
Yeah.
And it made me want to go and see the film. But the domestic trailer was very weak. I was never a big fan of... Wolverine was my favorite character in my comic book reading years. Even though Superman is my all-time favorite character, I never really read a lot of Superman or Batman books growing up. I was really, I think... just in awe of his powers.
Yeah.
But as far as reading, I read a lot of X-Men growing up. And Wolverine was my favorite character, even though he's trendy now. But I didn't like the Asian story arc stuff with Wolverine. When he played Patch, or when he went over, and it was the Haruko and Lady Deathstrike and all that stuff. The Asian-themed Wolverine stories growing up, I just found boring. I was like, flip, yeah, flip, flip. Get back to, like, you know, Fall of Mutants. Let's, you know, what's going on with Havoc, you know? So that, I just... But they've made it look good enough that I want to see it. I will definitely go and see it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely. So we should mention Free Comic Book Day on May the 4th.
Yes.
You've been kind enough to invite us along that day. And
that's going to be great, yeah.
Looking forward to podcasting. What other stuff's going on that day? What can we look forward to?
It's typical. Oh, what's there? Live radio.
Nice.
I'll call him back. So Free Comic Book Day. This is going to be the first one at this new location. A lot of ideas we had kind of bantied around. Bantied? Is that a word?
Bandit.
I don't know. We bounced a lot
bandied.
Of ideas.
Bandied. I think it's bandied.
Bambied. We bambied a lot of ideas around. But basically, it's going to be what you expect for a Free Comic Book Day here at Pulp Comics. We're going to have artists here, costumed heroes, the Stormtroopers, and Darth Vader will be here from the 501st Canadian Legion, as they all are always here. We'll have raffles, prizes, comic book, cosplay contest, tons of free comics. We've probably ordered the most Free Comic Book Day comics that we've ever ordered this year. Lots of sales going on, barbecue, food, refreshments, lots of fun stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Got a lot more real estate, too.
We do, yes. Street, so. We'll be doing some stuff outside under tents, you know, to kind of focus that. And, you know, we'll probably have some gaming tournaments going on downstairs as well.
We have the basement going.
Maybe we'll even do some old school arcade tournaments, you know, so you get the high score in Dig Dug. Take that, Joel Harrison.
That would be cool.
He's one of our staff members who has the record for Dig Dug. I had the record for Dig Dug for about a day. And then Joel's like, oh, really? Quarter.
Wow.
And I'm like, you better be putting quarters in and not using the keys to get free credits. He's like, no, man, look, quarter. And I watched him play, and I'm like, oh, well, you're pretty good at that.
Everyone has a talent.
Yes. Oh, hey, Joel. So, yeah, lots of fun stuff. We want to use every square inch of our space to do whatever people want to do and make it a really fun day. And I think it's going to be a pretty strong event.
Cool.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I had a great time last year.
Mm-hmm.
And just looking at the flyer here, it looks like there's a lot of interesting free comics coming out that day as well.
Yeah, I mean, the two that most people are curious about, well, the Walking Dead one, everyone's going to grab because it's going to be collectible, and you can guarantee that it will be.
Yeah.
So putting that one aside, the Marvel now is, you know, really trying to brand their Infinity new story arc with this book coming out with Thanos, because Thanos is going to be a villain they're really going to push between now and 2014, 15 for the Avengers
15, 2? Yeah.
15. So that's a character that's really going to get a strong push from Marvel in the print medium to drive the theater tickets. Not that they really need to, because everyone's going to go
yeah.
and see that movie. And the Superman film. I mean, Superman book. There's kind of like an unknown story that's going to be coming out in that book for Free Comic Book Day that might, you know, affect or have something to do with the future of Superman. So that's kind of a curious one people are looking at.
Cool.
Interesting.
But there's some good selections this year. Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, Sesame Street, Smurfs, you know, TMNT's well represented, and Archie, of course. There's just something for everybody, really.
Yeah. And the Ugly Doll comics.
Yes. With the Action Comics tribute cover.
Of course.
Cool. And we really can't leave here before we get you to pimp the Niagara Falls Comic Con.
Yes. Latest update was we just announced Corey Feldman coming. So he's kind of not taking over Ian Ziering's, I said his name right, spot. But with Ian backing out due to a prior commitment or schedule conflict, we all got together, my two partners and I, and said, okay, well, let's revisit this. Do we want to bring somebody else in? And that was actually happenstance. We felt that, you know, we had contacted Feldman's agent earlier in the year, like actually late last year, mm-hmm. and we thought the negotiations had fallen through. And just by fate and Facebook, we ended up being able to contact him directly, and Chris nailed it down, and he got him to come in. And I think the response that he's created and the buzz he's created is fantastic. So with you know already added to our really strong lineup and the activities and the cosplay contest and the vehicles we have there and the artists that we have there, I think this is, you know, almost exceeds our expectations for this year. We're really, really happy with how it's all turned out. Now it's just time to execute. Everybody come out and have a good time on June 8th and 9th at the Scotiabank Convention Center. And if they need tickets, go to NiagaraFallsComicCon.com, or you can buy them here at Pulp Comics. We'll actually probably be having some sort of a sale on the tickets on Free Comic Book Day like we did last year. Oh, cool. So if you haven't bought your Comic-Con ticket yet, come to Pulp Comics on May the 4th, and you'll be able to save money on comic book on the Comic-Con tickets that you can get at nowhere else at that deal.
How lucky that I'll be here.
Yes.
And you've got a fantastic lineup of actors and celebrities,
sure.
Too.
Oh, it's very strong. I mean, it's as strong or stronger than other Comic-Cons that we've seen recently.
Yeah.
But I think that we've hit all the major, you know, markets. We've got sci-fi, you know, fans are excited. We've got wrestling fans are excited. We've got TV fans are excited. We've horror fans. I mean, our horror lineup is very strong. Featured artists this year, we've really made an attempt to beef it up in that area as well, too. You know, George Perez, Mark Silvestri, Leonard Kirk. I mean, the list goes on. The people that we have coming in, you know, it's great.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet George Perez, actually.
Yeah.
He's probably the one I'm looking most for.
And Silvestri, for someone who doesn't do a lot of cons, to have him commit to our show in only our second year, that was a great coup by my other partner, James Ponce, to nail him down. That's been great.
And Sam Jones as well.
Yeah, Sam Jones. That was someone that I pushed for. That was me. The three of us, we all got together, you know, Chris James and I, we all had, you know, people we wanted to bring in.
Have your wish list.
Yes. And I pushed for Sam J. Jones. So I got him, and he's going to be awesome.
I'm excited. I kind of still wish I had my Queen album so that he could sign it.
Nice. You had an old school Queen soundtrack album?
I did. I got it for my 9th birthday, I think, from
Zulan
my dad.
Vinyl.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And my dad was living in New York City at the time, and he went to Crazy Eddie's and bought it for me. And I was just as excited to get a Crazy Eddie's bag.
Yes, of course.
As I was the album.
Nice.
I was like, oh my God.
And he was doing the flash jump on the
yes,
back cover.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll be getting a flash jump green screen photo with Sam Jones.
Nice.
That'll be happening.
Nice. Do you have any other questions?
No.
Okay.
That's the window washer, by the way.
Yes.
Nice. Well, we certainly appreciate you taking the time to do this with us, Paul. And,
absolutely, anytime.
Look forward to more.
Yeah, we'll see you guys here on Saturday, May the 4th.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Nice.
See what I did there?
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.